Richard Jackson was pastor at North Phoenix Baptist Church. Great pulpiteer, greatest preachers of just the last few years. Over 20 years, Richard Jackson pastored. He's from Texas. He now is in Brownwood. He's probably preached in this church. Dynamic, wonderful preacher of the gospel. One of my friends was going to be near Phoenix a couple of hours, and he decided that he wanted to hear Dr. Jackson. And so he left early from Tucson, went up to North Phoenix on a Sunday morning. He had called on Friday to make sure Richard Jackson would be preaching, and the receptionist said, yes, Dr. Jackson will be in the pulpit this Sunday. He got there early, so thrilled to hear this great preacher. And the sermon title was Budget, Giving, and Tithe. He said, I was so mad, so aggravated that of all Sundays, I go to hear Richard Jackson and the emphasis is on the budget. He said, I almost left, but I thought, well, maybe the music will be worth my drive. Richard Jackson that Sunday came to the pulpit and said, you've seen the sermon title, you know what I'm going to preach. And then he said this quote, there's more Jesus in this budget than most sermons delivered around the world today. Hang on, buy in, and let's go. Well, I'm not Richard Jackson, but hang on, buy in, and let's go. I want to talk to you about the First Baptist Church Lufkin budget. I wouldn't dare put that title out there because you would have left. So here we go. I've never really done this. This sermon is on white legal pad, but it's good. I am convinced that our 2018 church budget, $1,351,262, is filled with Jesus. It is filled with ministry and missions and the opportunity to offer salvation to anyone who will hear. Our budget this year is about families. It's about the lost. It's about the helpless, and it's for those who are hungry. It's filled with worship and discipleship and fellowship. It's filled with ministry to preschool and children, students and adults. Yes, it's about buildings. It's about ministers. It's about computers. It's about lights. It is about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's about church. It's church. And I want to talk briefly about it. The first part of our budget is about missions. Missions has always been in the DNA of First Baptist Church. For 134, this next year, 135 years, this church has been about missions. 131,588. In years prior, our money that we sent out to denominations was larger than the money that we stayed here to do local missions. We're going to still be a partner with cooperative missions around the world. We're going to send $60,000 to Baptist causes in Texas, Baptist causes across this nation, Baptist causes around the world. But the biggest portion of our mission offering, $71,000, will stay right here. It'll stay right here to do missions hands-on locally. You know the name. God Tell Ministries, Mosaic Center, Love in the Name of Christ, CISC, Buckner Family Pathways, Pregnancy Help Center. Six entities we partner with, almost $7,000 a year to each of those entities, $35,000. We link arms with these in our community to do local missions. But it's not only these. We have this year $9,000 that we have earmarked for new mission opportunities right here. We don't even know what they're going to be, because last year at this time we had not ever even heard of what Love Lufkin would be. That wasn't even a dream, but this year it'll be in the budget. We didn't know about second helping. Some ladies said we need to reclaim food. It wasn't even a dream last year. This year it's in our budget. Taco Thursdays, when we go to CISC, hundreds of people standing waiting to get groceries, we're able in the name of Christ to give them a taco. It hadn't even been thought of last year. So we don't know what God will call us to this year. So $9,000, we're saying new mission opportunity. $5,000 to do something globally. We've partnered with missions in Ethiopia. Maybe this year it'll be Guatemala. Maybe it'll be China. We have some contacts in China. We're not sure what God wants to do at this point, but we know God wants us to do missions. Our missions budget is a little less than some years, but I believe it's more. I believe it's more because we know who and how it will be used. We are better stewards today than we have been in other years. We are better stewards, and we're going to use that mission money to the glory of God. But not just missions, ministry. I'm not sure you draw the line in mission and ministry. Our ministry budget is $119,630. That's local. Listen, don't leave just because I'm talking on this, Brian. All right. Local ministries, local missions. What does it look like? It looks like worship. 3 weeks from today, this sanctuary on that Sunday night will be filled. The largest attendance we have on any Sunday, larger even than Easter, is when we open our church for that grand Christmas celebrate music. Intergenerational, interracial, different churches coming to give a gift to our community of Advent, of Christmas. That's part of who we are. That's part of our giving, goes to support $9,000, John tells us, to do worship and ministry of that Christmas wonderful concert. We love coming to worship. We love what happens in worship, and we get to give to that. Preschool children's ministry, remember this summer when those children filled this platform area? Over 250 children who participate in First Kids Camp, and then they come back, and the greatest thing is when I get to share with those older children that God has a plan for their life. And those children pray to receive Christ, and we saw some of them baptized this year. Oh, that's ministry money. Youth, last Wednesday night, our youth had 35 teenagers, 7th through 12th grade, doing youth worship with Dan leading. He forgot to tell them to take up the offering. Besides that, they all met, they worship, they're growing in Christ. Two of our youth are freshmen in college this year, studying to be ministers, missionaries, because of the youth ministry of this church. I think there are 3 or 4 or 5 that are in our youth group right now that are being, God is working in their heart, and they will grow to be vocational missionaries, ministers, and many of them will grow to be great Christian doctors, lawyers, and workers. Youth ministry. Discipleship. Wednesday nights we have first nights on Wednesday. We're doing discipleship. You know our largest expense is Sunday morning Bible study. Boy, we've brought the cost. That literature cost. It still costs $12,500 for us to do discipleship just on Sunday morning. We're being better stewards. We're not going to throw it away. We're going to order what we need for children in preschool and adults alike, but we're not going to throw it away. Activities. We love fellowship, and we're going to fellowship more than ever. It's good when the church family comes together. We're looking at our FLC. What is that FLC? What do we use it for? What should it be used for? How can we make it more available for the community or more available for us? It's a big liability. We're not sure what it should look like. We are going to do some new technology where everyone that comes in through the week at the FLC will have a little card like LiveWell, and they will know how to, that's a good commercial, like LiveWell, and they will be able to say who's here and who's not, and how can we minister to those folks who come. A big portion of our budget is operations. $319,000, not medical operations, but you know, operations, just like house. Do you know, I could read through all this, I won't bore you. Office paper supplies, $3,000 for you to have that bulletin to fan with. Office supplies, not counting paper, $2,500. Aren't we glad that we pay property insurance, $42,000? Because of that insurance and our $5,000 deductible, we have all new roof this year because of the hailstorm. That was good money spent. Yes, our telephone bill, like your phone bill, $7,000. I think my kid's phone bill is almost that much. We do PR and we do sanctuary decorations. We do electricity, $100,000 to run our lights, $100,000 to pay our gas bill. And when the heater breaks, guess what? We have to fix it. Custodian supplies, when you go and you are grateful that we have paper towels. Miss operations. It takes money to do what we do. And the money has to come from you. The greatest part of our budget, I believe, the one I'm most proud of, besides missions, is personnel. It's our largest expenditure, $780,536. Thanks be to God for our church staff. Each week, Lori, you can clap for them. That is a large expenditure. Do you realize there are 23 folks? Yes, the ministers, then the support staff, then the employees, and the custodial. And that doesn't even include our 9 Mother's Day Out We Care employees. You as a church provide salaries, Social Security, retirement, and insurance. And that's a big one. Insurance. Many places, their insurance is going up 40% or at least 25%. We budgeted for 15%, but our new policy is being written, and it only came in $5,000 higher than last year, and they all got older. Dan finally turned 30 yesterday. Thanks be to God, there are no more 20-year-olds on our staff. He acts 19, but he really is 30. The staff pays their part of insurance, too. This year, the budget committee recommended a 3% cost of living allowance. Although our insurance costs went down to each of us covered, our costs will go up. Our deductibles are higher. Our out-of-pockets are higher. Our office visits are higher. But we're grateful we have insurance and that a church provides for our needs. The best staff of any church that I know of, and I tell you, the best staff I have ever worked with since 1982, I enjoy right now, this day, in this church. I am grateful for that expenditure. Well, you haven't heard a lot of Jesus, but let me read to you. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 4, or maybe you have heard a lot of Jesus, because everything I've talked about is about Jesus, about serving God, being servants, being in our community, doing missions, ministry, and yes, having lights and air conditioning to help us do it. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, Jesus getting ready to preach, not about the budget, but he's going to preach. Chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout all the countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone was praising him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to church, as was his custom, and he stood to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. He began by saying, "Today, Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And someone said, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" From the prophet Isaiah, Jesus' first sermon in the church house, came those words. Did you hear it? "The Spirit of God is upon me." Now, I do not want to be too presumptuous at all, but I submit to you that these words from Isaiah, the words uttered to Jesus in the church, could be uttered about our church. The Spirit of God is upon First Baptist Church Lufkin. I believe that. God is moving. We have been anointed, I believe, and called of God for such a time as this. Don't look down on it. Don't read past it. Don't read more into it. But thank God that His Spirit is upon us. God is moving in our midst. It is a special anointing that not all churches have. And I thank God at this moment that we are recipients of that special calling. Jesus said, I've come to preach the good news, the gospel. And that's what we're about. This church, this pulpit is central to all that we do. The proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, for 135 years throughout this block, that message has stayed the same. And it will stay the same. If we are to have God's blessing and anointing, it must be the same. To preach the good news of Jesus Christ. To proclaim freedom for those in bondage. We need to only look around us. There are a lot of folks in bondage. Folks burdened with sin. They don't know what it is. They don't know why their life is like it is. They don't understand how bound up they are. They look for this and they look for that and they had this, but they're still in bondage. And the only answer for their bondage is to hear the good news and respond to the good news and accept the good news of Jesus Christ. We must preach freedom from bondage. And some have been freed from the bondage of sin, but then they put on the bondage of legalism. They don't know what to do with grace, and so they've been saved by God's grace, and then they have all this legalism, all these lists of don'ts. We've come to free them through the good news of Jesus Christ. Let go of that legalism. Let go of that sin. Be free. Free in Christ. Recovery of sight. Jesus preached from Isaiah. Folks around us are so blind. They're so blind. They live in darkness. But we know the light. We have the opportunity to say, let us enlighten you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are those around us who are so thirsty and they believe that this world can quench their thirst. But we know, as Jesus proclaimed, a water that they can drink of, that they will never thirst again. And Jesus said, I've come to release the oppressed. Those oppressed by sin and guilt. Those who are battered and scarred. Dear friends, 2018 may very well be the year of the Lord's favor upon our church. God's Spirit is here. He has anointed us to proclaim the good news, to proclaim release from bondage and captivity, to proclaim sight to those who are blind, to give hope in this coming year. Hang on. This whole year is about over. 2017. I can't believe it has gone so quickly. We were just planning it, and here it is. 7 weeks left in this year. 7 Sundays, and we are $100,000 behind cash. You knew that was coming. 7 Sundays for us to hang on and to catch up. Folks tell me, don't worry, this church will catch up at the end of the year. It won't happen by osmosis. It won't happen by praying, oh God, let the money fall from the sky. It's in your pocket. We know where it is. $100,000 makes me lose sleep at night. We have spent money we do not have, money that we borrow from ourselves. I encourage you to hang on and buy in to what God is doing. Listen, if you're a member, if you're a visitor, I'm so glad you're here. Come and join and then buy in. If you are a member of First Baptist Church, folks, I don't like to use the word obligation, but you have an opportunity. An opportunity to support your church. Why would you not? We are partners in this together. I think sometimes we believe that, well, all the rich people give to support First Baptist. They don't need my $20 or $100. They have a lot of money. We are not rich. We don't have a lot of money. No one sends us money except you. And some months you don't either. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8, he said, the Macedonian church There's something special about that church. He said they just keep giving and giving and giving. The Macedonian church was persecuted. They didn't have anything. But Paul said they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of giving to support the saints. Urgently pleaded with us, let us buy in. Let us give. This is our church. I was going to change this sermon. I decided months ago I was going to preach on budget today. We're going to adopt our budget this Wednesday night. With all the tragedy that happened this week, I've battled all week. No one wants to come today to hear about a church budget. Then I kept seeing the pictures of the Sutherland Springs Church. Not the building. Those faces. It's 11:20. They were in worship, listening to their guest pastor preach. They'd already done their offering. You saw their faces. That's not a wealthy church. It's like driving through Radcliffe, is how I've been to Sutherland Springs when I was in San Antonio pastoring. There's not a lot there. It's a community church. It's called First Baptist, but it's the only church. If you're in that community and you go to church, that's your church. I saw the faces. And I can picture them. They brought their dollars, some tithed, some gave 5%, some just gave $10 when they could. It was their church. They were the church, and they're still the church. Some of them gave their last offering Sunday. This is our church. It's a special place, isn't it? Yes, we love the building, and we love the air conditioning, and we love buildings that will still come in years. But more than that, we love this body of Christ, this fellowship, special place. So let's start our heart. I want you to hang on. I want you to buy in, and let's go forward. $1,351,262, a little less than what we budgeted last year. When it's all said and done, I want to be faithful to my church. This is your church. Give something. If you're a member and you're not giving something, you can and you should. And we don't want to hear shoulds and cans. Just do it. It's the greatest blessing in our life to get to give something bigger than us, to know that we're part of what God is doing. God has anointed us. God has called us. Let's not miss it just because of money. We're going to meet this budget. We're going to go forward. Richard Jackson was right. He was right. I should call him this week and tell him. There's more Jesus in this budget than many churches will hear all year long. Unapologetically do I proclaim, this is the gospel of the Lord.